weekend and enjoy it. And we'll be back with the sports guys shortly.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We have to make sure that there's a fair investigation. And that's a very important part of the independent investigation being done by the State Bureau of Investigation. That is a priority.
North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory speaking about the state's investigation into the shooting of a black man by a Charlotte police officer. McCrory praised the protesters last night in Charlotte, saying that was the kind of protest the city can be proud of. A curfew still in effect for the city of Charlotte through the weekend from midnight until 6 a.m. Donald Trump on the campaign trail acknowledged the struggles in parts of the African-American community and says the nation needs to come together.
We all have to walk a mile in someone else's shoes, see things through their eyes, and then get to work fixing our very wounded country.
And the career of legendary baseball announcer Vin Scully is coming to an end this weekend. After 65 years, he's hanging up his microphone. USA Radio News.
As an entrepreneur, you're always on the go. So turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Make and receive business calls using our iPhone and Android apps. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Forward your calls to any phone and even get your voicemails transcribed. Join over 250,000 small businesses who stay connected with Grasshopper. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need a ton of supplies for my business, but I hate spending all that money.
Well, it's a great time to stock up and save during Staples' Buy More, Save More event.
Buy More, Save More event?
Yep, the more you buy, the more you save on everything for your office.
Everything, like pens and folders?
Yep.
I also need paper, file folders, storage bins, notepads, hand sanitizer, bubble roll. What else do I need?
A shopping cart. You will definitely need a cart for all this stuff.
The Buy More, Save More event, right now at Staples. Make more happen, in-store only.
Believe it or not, in four states, people can already vote for president. Here's a story from Chris Barnes.
Some folks just can't wait to cast their votes in the presidential election. And actually, starting today, voters in four states can do so. Early voting starting in Minnesota, South Dakota, Vermont, and Virginia. Though in Virginia, voters have to provide a valid reason for why they're voting early instead of on November 8th. Mississippi voters can cast their ballot in the November election starting this upcoming Monday. I'm Chris Barnes.
A significant rise in overdose deaths connected to fentanyl are spreading across the country. Health officials have banded together for public service announcements warning about the drug.
Fentanyl, an opiate, is being mixed with heroin, cocaine, and other illegal drugs and killing people before help can arrive. Knowing what to do in a case of an overdose means the difference between life and death.
The White House playing defense in advance of an expected veto of a bill allowing 9/11 victims to sue Saudi Arabia in court. Presidential spokesman Josh Earnest said it could strain relations. USA Radio News.
Keep yourself and your wallet healthy with Wellness Plus with Plenty at Rite Aid. In addition to Plenty points, earn Wellness Plus points every time you shop. $1 spent on everyday items gets you 1 point, and get up to 25 points on every prescription you fill. When you've reached 1,000 Wellness Plus points, you'll get 20% off our regular prices for a year. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through September 24th, spend $50 a week on participating products at Rite Aid and earn 2,000 Plenty points worth $20 in savings. Visit RiteAid.com/RakenPoints for details.
It's amazing the kind of things that will allow somebody to go viral on the internet. A pair of cargo pants is getting a man some worldwide fame.
The pic was sent from Google Maps, which internet users say is a great way to see the world without leaving your home. The picture features a tourist nicknamed Cargo Pants Guy. It shows him in the Grand Canyon unzipping his cargo pant leg and turning his cargo pants into cargo shorts. A Twitter user spotted Cargo Pants Guy and tweeted out a photo. The user at Sarah Jean Alex only has around 3,000 followers, but the pic has been retweeted almost 10,000 times. Jason Campadonia, Phoenix.
Some sad news in the world of comedy today, as Monty Python founding member Terry Jones has been diagnosed with a form of dementia that is taking away his ability to speak and communicate. Python member Eric Idle spoke about his friend and the impact he had on the group.
He would hold out for his idea of what Python should be. You may say, no, this isn't Python. Only Terry would know quite what that meant, but he would have a very strong philosophical view of what Python meant.
Democrats in New Jersey want to impeach Governor Chris Christie.
NBC4 New York says some assembly members believe early testimony in the George Washington Bridge traffic scandal disputes Christie's denial that he knew anything about it. An unidentified committee chairwoman says obstruction of justice would be an obvious charge, but Christie spokesperson Brian Murray gave us a one-word response. Ridiculous. Ethan Harp, New York.
USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Okay, we'll be here in a minute with the sports guys, but before that, I wanted to give you a little news about the weather, because another good weekend should be a nice weekend, although tomorrow it's there may be some scattered sprinkles, and it's going to be cloudy, but high about 72 degrees, clear tomorrow night, and low of about 44 degrees, so that's nice sleeping weather. On Sunday, it should be sunny. High of about 70 degrees, so that will be a beautiful day and mostly sunny into Monday. So anybody who wants to get one last day at the shore, I guess that's my daughter. She always wants to do that, and the day to do it will be Sunday. So I guess what we'll be doing, Bill, is watching football.
Well, I'm not going to be watching football.
You're
Sunday.
Not.
I'm going to be out on my boat. We're going to get a gorgeous weekend like you just promised us when you did the weather a while ago.
Definitely.
And good afternoon, Hunterdon County. It's Friday. We're the sports guys. We're missing John Manfreda, who is attending a wedding. And I'll be at a wedding myself tomorrow at a place I've never been here in Flemington, the Lutheran Church. So a shout out to the bride and groom. And I'm ashamed to say I can't even remember their names that right now. It's been such a busy week. I've actually spent 4 straight days in court. I have finally come up for air today, and I actually was able to find my desk. I got down to wood by about 4:30 this afternoon.
Oh, stop bragging. I haven't had wood on my desk for quite some time. But let me ask you, one of the things that we did last week is we couldn't start the game on time. Now, of course, we have satellite, so we taped it. And although we started about, a few minutes later, we were able to get through all the commercials in the first half. Now, by the second half, of course, we had to watch all the commercials. But that was fun. I mean, it really, I'm not sure I would feel comfortable about doing, you know, taping a game, every game, and then watching it later. But just to start it on a tape and then, catch up, so to speak, because nobody was calling us. We weren't listening to the radio. There was no way we were going to be able to hear the score. Now, on the other hand, we probably should have missed the whole game since we're talking about the Packer-Viking game.
Well, basically, I don't understand how the Packers managed to lose to the Vikings.
Well, you didn't watch the game.
I didn't watch the game. And a quarterback that the Eagles gave up on?
Well, I have to tell you, and as much as I hate to say it, I think Sam Bradford did an amazing job. As I recall, he had been in Minnesota for about 2.5 weeks. Aaron Rodgers did not look good. He and Jordy Nelson were not in sync. But it was pretty amazing to me. Now, although Green Bay won the toss, they decided to kick off. And I just have to tell you, although the Packers did really contain Peterson, I just was impressed with Sam Bradford. Unless the Eagles, quarterback, and I think he will do a good job, but I think that the Eagles, could be disappointed that they really traded Bradford. But who goes into a team and 2.5 weeks later is able to play a really good game?
Well, I'm not saying Bradford's a bad quarterback, and he is a smart guy. But once Carson Wentz was drafted by the Eagles traded up for him with Cleveland. Once he was drafted, the writing was on the wall, and Bradford knew that at least he might be an understudy for a year, but not for 2 years. So Bradford knew his time was going to be limited. And when Bridgewater went down with a broken leg or a torn meniscus, the Vikings were desperate for a quarterback, and they made the Eagles a deal they couldn't refuse. Between the draft choices and the conditional draft choices and picking up a huge salary, I think the Eagles made the right move. And so far for 2 games, admittedly not against great competition, but still NFL caliber competition, Carson Wentz has played very well. The Eagles are 2-0. I don't think a rookie quarterback has ever led the Eagles to a 2-0 start. Now, granted, they played the Browns, who are a troubled team, and they played I'm having a brain freeze because it's 4:30.
Yeah,
they played the Bears.
Bears
Monday night.
Yes.
And the Bears are also not a bad team, but not a team that's going to be a playoff contender. And yet they looked pretty good against the Bears. Now, the Eagles gave Carson Wentz very good pocket protection. He was rarely pushed out of the pocket. The difficulty is that he had a number of dropped balls by Aguilar. Additionally, Zach Ertz, a good steady set of hands, is probably not going to play this weekend because of injuries. And quite frankly, he's matched up against Ben Roethlisberger, who's a great quarterback. And a lot of people are saying that the Steelers are a playoff contention team, and Everything I see, they're 2-0, and you know the Steelers could easily rip through their conference and
let me ask you,
11-5 team.
One of the things that I thought Wentz would have really benefited from sitting on the bench for a year. I really did. I understand. It had to be a shock to Bradford. I mean, he didn't know he was going to be traded. I mean, he had no idea that this was happening.
He wanted to be traded.
Well,
Once they picked up Wentz, he wanted to be traded. Remember, this is a guy that Chip Kelly wanted and dealt for 2 years ago.
Well, he was first-round pick?
By Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I mean, and so this was not somebody who was a fluke. But I guess I just wonder with some of these young quarterbacks, maybe I always look at what happened with Aaron Rodgers, but I think he benefited from sitting on the bench for a few years. I think sometimes that we've seen what happens with these young quarterbacks when they go in that quickly. The one thing that I questioned and asked, and you can tell me because I didn't see the entire game, is were the drop balls, were they the receiver's problem or were they Wentz's problem? In other words, were these...
I can answer that question right now. Wentz delivered a good catchable ball.
So what was happening?
Wentz delivered a ball that had the receiver focused, could have easily been caught. Wentz seems to have the smarts to pick the second or third receiver when the coverage is good, and he doesn't seem to get rattled in the pocket.
Right.
The one thing I'd like Wentz to do more is to slide. If he knows he's going to get nailed in a broken play, he ought to just fall down. The other thing I noticed he didn't do, he ran for the sidelines and got caught instead of simply throwing the ball away. He seems a little hesitant to throw the ball away when he knows a play is just not going to work.
Even when he's out of the pocket?
Yeah.
And that, of course, he has to get out of the pocket before he can throw it away. But you're right. That is something that I've noticed. And, I think we can't complain about him. I mean, he is a young quarterback. We shall see. But there's no question that the Vikings with Bradford, there were some stupid mistakes. And I don't know if you realize, but the Green Bay decided to go on fourth down and early on in the first quarter instead of kicking a field goal. It was an absolute slam dunk field goal. There was no question that they could have made it. My husband Dave sat there and said, "This is going to lose the game." And, unfortunately, his prediction was right because they would have at least tied the game and gone into overtime if, in fact, they had not, tried that, on fourth down. Now, well, I understand that Stinton is now with the Bears. I was surprised that the Packers got rid of him. We'll see. Lane Taylor did some good things with the Packers. So I guess they just figured that they really needed to, replace him. But Diggs was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really was. I mean, Diggs was right out there. They pretty well could, I don't remember what Peterson's statistics were, but they weren't, they weren't the usual Adrian Peterson that we see. And so
Adrian Peterson is injured, as I understand it. He's not playing for at least a couple of months.
Well, but yes, he was injured in the game, but he was playing in the game. And even before he was injured, I didn't hear the report as to what was the injury, because it looked like...
I thought it was an injury to a knee. I thought it was a torn meniscus.
Well, it probably was, because even before that, he was not doing his usual Adrian Peterson stuff. But no, he did not walk off the field under his own power. He did not put that foot down at any time when he went off the field, and they also showed him going into the locker room, and at no point was he putting any weight on that at all. So I'm not surprised.
I couldn't tell whether he had torn a knee or whether he had broken his ankle. I mean, his his foot when he was laying on the field looked at it was like at a funny angle. I didn't see the game, but I did see the some of the film afterwards. I wanted to get back to the Eagles. You know, the Eagles have a good running back in Matthews, who they got from the Bears, who had an excellent game against the Bears. Not that the Bears are going to go to the playoffs this year, but I'm interested in what you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers and their chances, because they look like a playoff team to me, so everybody says.
I agree. I have not, and I don't follow them to any great extent, but I think they could... I think they're looking excellent. I think that they could, I don't know, though. I mean, look at the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots on their, third quarterback?
That's right. And they're winning.
And they're winning. So, yeah. The Patriots, I never expected that they would be able to do as well as they're doing in light of the fact that not only is Brady not playing, but then they're... their backup quarterback went down, and I haven't watched all of the games, but this young quarterback seems to be doing what he needs to do to help them win the games.
That's right. One of the things that I think we have to look at is getting back to the Sunday game between the Eagles, is that the Eagles are going to have to figure out how to stop the NFL's leading rusher, D'Angelo Williams. So the Eagles' defensive line is really going to be challenged. We have McElvin out for Sunday, and so likewise Zach Ertz. Additionally, we have cornerback Jalen Mills, who has not played well against the Bears. So I'm wondering how he'll play against the Steelers. So one of the real issues that was brought up the other day on listening to sports radio, as I often do when I'm in the car, is the Steelers, have a high-powered offense. They can jump out to a 14-point lead. And is Carson Wentz going to be able to show that he can complete passes when everybody knows that the Eagles are going to pass? The first 2 weeks, the Eagles threw a lot in the first half and ran a lot in the second half because they were ahead and they were draining time off the clock. But what happens if the Eagles have to now abandon the run if they're down 14-3 and it's, you got 5 minutes left in the second quarter? The Steelers have an extremely good run defense, and they're going to force the ball into the air. Now, the defense isn't like it was when James Harrison and Lamar Tucci and one of my favorites, Troy Polamalu, were in their prime.
Polamalu was something, wasn't he?
He was amazing.
He was so much fun to watch.
Particularly between the dreadlock hair and, him being a Pacific Islander.
He was so big.
He was a huge guy. He was, 6'7", and he was about 310 pounds?
He looked like... He reminded me, in the way he looked, and this is probably really dating myself, but he reminded me of the refrigerator.
In some ways, yeah, but a refrigerator from a Pacific island.
No, that was the name, of course, and I'm not even sure.
Raymond Refrigerator Perry.
Refrigerator Perry, who played for Chicago.
And the Eagles.
Remember that.
He did play for the Eagles one season under Buddy Ryan.
Before or after the Bears? After the Bears.
Buddy, the Bears let him go, and Buddy Ryan picked him up off the waiver wire like mid-season. And, the refrigerator was basically a defensive lineman.
Oh, he was.
But one day, Buddy Ryan called a trick play, and he put the refrigerator in the backfield, and it was like a third and... on the 1 yard line, it was goal to go, and his instructions were that the quarterback's going to hand you the ball, just fall forward. I don't care who's in front of you, just fall down and make sure you fall forward. And so he did, and the Eagles got 6 points.
Exactly,
out of it.
Exactly. And I remember that play.
The refrigerator's only touchdown, and it was against the Giants, if I remember correctly. You never saw a happier football player than the refrigerator having scored that touchdown. It was in Veterans Stadium. I remember being home watching the game on TV. The weather was not good. So it was mostly, smash mouth, cold weather, bad weather football. And the refrigerator had his moment in, I can't say moment in the sun because it was raining, but his moment of football glory.
Well, you know, that's why, I mean, there are certain players over the years who are just fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And the refrigerator was one of them. There's no question about it. You know, and you know, of course, he, when I was watching him, he was playing with the
Bears.
Chicago Bears. So,
you
I mean,
get to see him at least twice a year.
Yeah, and you know, not that I was real pleased when he would make some of those plays, but it's also interesting how people get some of the you know, some of the nicknames that they get. But he really deserved that, and I think they called him the refrigerator because nobody could move him.
Right, he was a big guy.
And that was, I mean, it wasn't like he was a cold guy. It was just that nobody could move him. He was as difficult to move as a refrigerator.
Exactly. One of the things I wanted to talk about with Eagles-Steelers is this. The Steelers have basically solid cornerbacks in William Gay and Ross Cockrell. And last week they held A.J. Green to 2 catches for 39 yards. Robert Golden's played well. But I think they're capable of being picked apart. Additionally, if you look at the Steelers' defensive line of Cameron Hayward, Jason Hargrave, and Steve Tuitt, they haven't really shown a lot of pressure. And with Lane Johnson playing, I think the Eagles' line's got a chance to keep Wentz cleaner than it figures to in the weeks to come. So this is really the big test, not just for a young quarterback, but for a relatively new bunch of guys playing on the offensive line.
Right, his line.
And
I mean, can the offensive line protect him?
And also for the receivers. Now, you had a lot of drops. You had Matthews, who is not a bad receiver. He plays end. He's not a bad receiver. And they're going to match him up against Sean Davis, who is a second rounder this year. And what Davis has had a tough couple of weeks in the NFL, and from what I read, he's allowed 10 catches on 12 targets, and he's given up 142 yards. So, you know, you can't count the Eagles out of this game. I mean, if I had to predict, I think it's going to be like a 24-21 Steelers win, just because I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to take the game over in the fourth quarter and produce a win. But if the Eagles keep it close, I think it's a moral victory.
Well, and I think you're right. You know, and I'm looking, of course, at the Packers. I think they're going to really come out.
They've got this week.
They were humiliated. I mean, that was a humiliating loss. Although the one thing is, you know, they played in the new stadium in Minneapolis.
Yeah, that kind of gets everybody pumped.
Well,
doesn't it?
Jordy Nelson made the first touchdown in Minnesota's stadium. On the other hand, Minnesota won the game. There are some people that I think they really miss. I mean, I really think they miss B.J. Raji, who retired. Sam Shields has been out, the quarterback. He's not playing because of a concussion. Matthews went out of the game hurt. I couldn't tell when he came back in if he was playing hurt. You know, they're basically protecting Aaron Rodgers, but he was not connecting with his receivers. And frankly, it wasn't always the receiver's fault. I don't think Adams can, you know, well, sometimes Adams can't catch a
A cold.
You know, whatever. I mean, well, Adams is not great, but you know, Jordy and Aaron have not worked that out yet. It's not just Jordy's inability to catch. Aaron was over throwing sometimes because of the receivers, because they were defended so well. He was trying to, you know, throw where he shouldn't have been. And it was not a pretty sight. It was not what we usually.
But I got a question. Rodgers has put the ball up 40 times in two games.
Right.
I'm sorry, 70 times in two games. And
right.
40 catches. He's thrown 3 touchdowns, and he's gained 412 yards in the air. Eddie Lacy does not have a touchdown yet. Aaron Rodgers has rushed for 2 touchdowns.
Right. Actually, he's.
And the guys who scored on the passes have been Jordy Nelson, who, you know, put it in the end zone twice, and Devontae Adams. Cobb so far hasn't Yeah, in two games, he's caught 11 balls for 99 yards.
Yeah,
so
but
what
Cobb,
is it about him? Is he on the downside?
Actually,
here?
I think I like Cobb. I think Cobb is better than Adams. The fact that Adams happened to, you know, make touchdowns, I think Cobb, he's usually catching the short throws and is pretty well defended after that.
But, you know, the Lions are playing with a lot of banged-up linebackers. Their first-string linebackers are all hurt. They've got a defensive end in Ansa who was injured. And if the Packers are going to struggle against this defensive line, then I think the Packers are in real trouble.
Well, and there's even premature talk that Aaron has reached his peak. I don't think that's the case. I just think that
he's, what, 32? Rodgers?
No, I think he may be around 30. But the point is, you know, they say he's been playing for what? How many
years?
5 years? 6 years? No, it's got to be more than that. But the point is he didn't play for the first 5 years.
Well,
he's been playing
exactly.
For, you know, is it 5 years now? I mean, but you can't really look at him as a quarterback who started out his first year playing. So although the 1 year he was... you know, just massacred. I mean, he was sacked so many times.
But the thing that I don't get with the Packers is I thought they had no business losing that game.
Well, I didn't either unless you saw it.
I didn't see the
and
game.
And if you saw it.
What happened? Did they just have a brain freeze?
No, although you thought after Peterson was down and injured, maybe that would make a difference. However, that was right before the third quarter. Rodgers fumbled after making a first down at one point, although Cook recovered that. Starks basically did nothing a few times when, first and 10. They were down on 3-1, and the ball was overthrown. They had a 4-1, and Starks, they didn't try that field goal. And even though they were on the 4th 1-yard line, they had to turn it over to the Vikings. That was in the second quarter. Jordy wasn't catching at first. There was an incomplete to him. I don't know. It just seemed like every time, even though there were some, roughing the passer, which some helmet to helmet, which you thought would have, given some benefit to the Packers. I don't know. They just couldn't do it. Although, as I said, Jordy was the first to score a touchdown in the new stadium.
Well,
now, the other thing that I talk about the stadium. I would like to see a game in that stadium because...
I heard the Minnesota Stadium is beautiful.
It looked gorgeous. It looks like they have a glass roof. Now, the one thing that... and I may be wrong. Maybe you can even find it on the Internet. I thought they said there were only 66,000 seats in that stadium. Now, I can't believe they would have built a new stadium with only 66,000 seats. But in any event...
You know, Pat, we're so beholden in the NFL to the golden eye of television that I think the fewer people that show up, the happier they are.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Everybody wants to have, 75,000 people in the stands because, with all the hype, they have millions more watching. But talking about watching, why don't we just play a couple spots and then we'll be back because... we like our sponsors. We love our sponsors.
If without them, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
I'm your eyes remain, stymie when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon, or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate pecans and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton, Pambee's, purely delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Well, we're back. I just have to say something about one of the new businesses in Hunterdon County. They were one of our sponsors, and that's Pamby. Great ice cream. If you don't know where they are, they're on Route 31, north of Payne Road, on the south side of Route 31. And it used to be a little restaurant there, and now it's ice cream, and I hope everyone will look in and, you know, spend some time. And, you know, ice cream is great. One of the things that I also talked about earlier was the Deer Park, the great all-day music on October 1st. So that would be a good time to get some ice cream from Pamby. And I want to welcome them not only as a sponsor, but welcome them as a business to Hunterdon County. One other thing, Bill, and then we can talk about your Jets. Just wanted to tell you all that we checked, and the Minnesota Stadium, I was right. The seating capacity is 66,655. Apparently, it's expandable to 73,000 when they host the Super Bowl in 2018. It is an enclosed stadium with a fixed roof. However, what will be interesting is, remember, when is the Super Bowl played? Not in October or September, but getting
February.
To Minnesota.
In February.
That's
going to be a bunch of interesting airplane rides. Those planes are going to be having sleigh bells on them, and they're not going to be powered by jets. I think they're going to be powered by Santa's reindeer after they've rested up after Christmas.
Well, very interesting, because there can be really bad weather. The Minnesota airport is a nice airport. But one of the things, and I especially remember what happened in New Orleans when they hosted the Super Bowl. You know, New Orleans is a small airport, and they had to give all the private jets slots as to when they could come in. I remember a friend of mine who was supposed to fly down on a private jet, ended up with an extra long business meeting and missed the flight. Many of us had to fly into Houston in order to get there. But that should be interesting because there's not another airport. You know, Duluth is very small, the airport there. And, of course, airport in Green Bay is about 6 hours away. So that should be very interesting. There are accommodations in Minnesota, but I don't think there's going to be the draw in Minnesota that there would be in New York. For example, when they hosted it out here, you know, even if people, you know, didn't want to come for the game or they bring their families, they were in New York, there was, you know, more than sufficient accommodations. So well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, obviously, you know, they always sell out the Super Bowl, but it's going to be a little different unless they have unbelievable break in the weather. It could be a real miserable mess.
Well, you know something? They set these games up 2 years in advance, 3 years in advance. The once again, we're all at the mercy of the schedulers who are paid by the great glass eye in the sky.
Yeah, but remember, Bill, when other than New York, when did they have Super Bowls in the North?
They just usually would not.
I can't remember. Can you remember a Super Bowl in any one of the northern stadiums?
Not for a very long time. I mean, they used to play the NFL championship.
Well, that's different.
When I was a kid.
Yeah, but those were championship games, and they would play.
In the 60s, when I would play them. But once they had the merger and they began playing the Super Bowl, it was always a southern neutral location.
Exactly.
And I always thought that that was a better idea because as much as I like cold weather football, you want a neutral site. You want people to play in warm weather. You want the fans who are in an outdoor stadium comfortable. You want the players not freezing their cleats off. And you want to be in a situation where weather is not a factor. Now, Minnesota, they built an indoor closed stadium.
So yeah, but so
maybe
what?
Weather's not a factor.
But that's
what happens
only
if there's a snowstorm and nobody can fly in.
Exactly. I mean, weather's not a factor in the stadium, but you have to get to and from the stadium. And I guess I hadn't really even thought about it. But what if, you know, thank God they won't, but what if Minnesota happened to be in the Super Bowl? That would truly be unfair.
Well, yeah, because then they would have a home field advantage. But, Pat, there's a reason the Canadian Football League ends their season and plays the Grey Cup at the end of November, and that's because otherwise they're going to get too much snow.
Exactly.
And, I mean, if I've seen exactly two Canadian Football League games, and they were both relatively early in the season, both in September, and one in Montreal and one in Toronto. And, you know, it was pleasant. It was like early fall weather. They were both afternoon games. But having been in Montreal and in Toronto in February, boy, is there a lot of snow.
Yeah, but Toronto is really nothing. You look at where Toronto is.
I think Toronto might even be south of Minneapolis.
Oh, much, much south. I mean, it is. Maybe about Chicago, and of course Toronto is nothing like the weather in Minneapolis. I guess my sense is they must have promised Minnesota. They must have promised them the Super Bowl if, in fact, they would build
stadium.
That stadium.
Oh yeah, and remember, how else are you going to pay off that bond issue? It's owned by the Minnesota Sports Finance Authority, and you know, states are strapped for money.
Well, but I don't think this is state-funded.
It's a state agency that owns it, from what I just read on Wikipedia. It's the Minnesota Sports Finance Authority. So that sounds like a public agency.
Well, I would check, because I know that it is true that when the Packers expanded Lambeau, that the people of Brown County agreed to be taxed. And then
so
the
they
Packers
could pay for the bonds.
Well, but then the Packers agreed that a certain section of seats would be set aside for Brown County residents. Now, the Brown County residents have to pay for those seats. It's a lottery, but it's fairly reasonable. I think the seats now are running, I don't know, $70 or $80, and they go into a lottery. Problem is, and you know, as you know, we go out to the games, and the problem is when you go into the lottery, if you win, you have to pay either two tickets or four tickets. You can get up to four tickets, but you don't know what game. Well, so it could be a preseason game.
For all you know. But at least they're trying to be fair, and they're trying to give everybody the experience of seeing the Packers at Lambeau, which is a tough ticket to get.
Oh, it's an,
Feel very fortunate that I got to see Packers-Bears at Lambeau in November in the snow. And, you know, it was well worth, you know, the time, the expense, the money. I love football. It's a matchup I've always wanted to see. I'd now like to see Packers, Bears at Soldier Field.
Oh, I would too. I have to tell
you. Fun.
I've seen a Packer, Bear game at Lambeau. In fact, I'm going to see another one this year, but I've never been to Soldier Field, and I'd really like to see that. I frankly would like to see a game in Minnesota. I hate to see a game in Minnesota, but I would like to see
like
the
to
stadium.
See a game in Minnesota.
Well, I'd like to see the stadium.
The Packers.
Yeah, I'd like to see the stadium. I'm not even so sure that I would go to a game there, but certainly the next time I'm in northern Wisconsin, I will, you know, consider, you know, we'll go over to see the stadium because I think that would be well worth it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, stadium architecture is getting more and more beautiful as time goes on. I mean, I think it started with Camden Yards and Yankee Stadium and now AT&T Field in Dallas, which I don't really find all that attractive, but a lot of people do. And the stadium in Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul, I hear is magnificent.
Well, yes and no. If you're a diehard old-time football fan, and I know I'm aging myself, and you know I'm probably a curmudgeon, but to me, Lambeau is the field that you see it. It's bleacher seats. You have to buy a seat to get a back. You go in and they're cloth back seats that you can buy, but it's straight bleachers. I'm telling you, in the winter when people have more than a regular jacket, if they're trying to keep warm, you get up to cheer and you sit down and there's no place to sit because the seats are very, very narrow. And yet, to me, that's the kind of stadium. They didn't even change it when they expanded the stadium. They didn't put in, the kind of posh seats that you see in most places. So, anybody going to Lambeau gets an experience of what, old-time football was like. And I also have to say, we've sat most places in the stadium, not the 50-yard line, and not box seats, although I've been in box seats at Giant Stadium. But you really can see, the seats are really good seats. You can see what's going on. Maybe the only place that I don't like to watch a game is really low in the end zone. But if you're anywhere else, it's a very, very, good stadium to, see what's going on.
You know, I saw a game, Jets hosting the Packers about 4 years ago, and it was a game where nobody scored a touchdown. And we had seats at the corner of the Jets, of the end zone the Jets defended twice. And we were about 30 seats up from the field. And there were so many balls thrown into the end zone by both Aaron Rodgers and by the Jets quarterback, who I think might have been having a bad day. I think it might have been Geno Smith. I forget. San Antonio Holmes caught a ball and was barely out of the end zone, and it was opposite from where we were sitting, but we could see he had 1 foot in and 1 foot out, so it's kind of interesting to sit there. I don't mind an end zone seat if I'm high up enough.
Exactly.
And I can watch the play develop.
Yeah, but if you're within the first 10 rows, it can that can be difficult. I mean, you'll see the guys when they're right in front of you, and of course there are those Packer fans that will die for that first row you know, the first row seats.
For the Lambeau Leap.
Because they get the Lambeau Leap. And so they wouldn't trade those tickets if they couldn't see, you know, at all, just so they'd have an option of, you know, getting a leaping in.
Would you rather have a Lambeau seat 50-yard line, 30 rows up, or a Lambeau seat right at the edge of the end zone before the field?
I'm sorry, but I'd like the 50-yard line.
Oh, you'd...
absolutely.
You're not willing to congratulate Randall Cobb.
I am, you know, the chance of, you know, my luck would be, you know, nothing would happen every single game that I happen to sit in the end.
It would be all at the other
end
of
the field. It would all be at the end of the other end of the field. And, I've never sat at the 50-yard line. Well, maybe that's not true. Many, many, many years ago when they first opened Lambeau, I think I had pretty close to a 50-yard line seat. That was when the ends were still open. I mean, it was, you know, and what I remember about the one game, which in fact was a game against the Giants, and it was wind chill. And they always talk about the Ice Bowl, but this game was... I think the wind chill was about 30 degrees. I mean, it was really cold. And back then, because everything was open, I mean, the wind used to be unbelievable.
Well, that was the same way in Old Veterans Stadium. I sat on the 50-yard line, but in the 700 level of Veterans Stadium, which was a little bit like... you know, watching the old Roman gladiators and wondering, you know, who was going to get thrown to the lions next.
Well, if you were a Packer fan, wearing some Packer paraphernalia, it might be you.
Well, that's true. But in Philadelphia, I was wearing my green and white, and I remember I had an Eagles jersey. I think Roman Gabriel was the quarterback then. And I was in college, and like a lot of college students, we were using ethanol to stay warm, and we weren't exactly burning it. The amount of internal consumption that would go on at Veterans Stadium was, to say the least, amazing. And the only people who would ever put them to shame were Packer fans when I went there for the game. Some of these guys were absolutely legless, but...
We had a row of
Eagles fans who were topless, and half of the top was silver, and the other half of the top were white, and not all of them were guys. And it was about 20 degrees, and in Veterans Stadium at the upper level, once the sun dropped down below the lip of the stadium, boy, it was cold, and the wind in between the Schuylkill and the Delaware was enough to freeze you know what's off a monkey. It was bad.
And so, basically, though,
they were feeling pain.
You did not even watch the football game because you had more interesting things to watch when you were a college student.
Well, I will tell you that looking at those people, it was kind of hard to tell given the, I'll use the term, amazing bulk. you know, a lot of them seemed to be large enough that they could play linebacker, although they weren't moving all that quickly.
Well, you know what surprises me is no matter how cold it is, there are certain people that are beer drinkers, and they will drink, you're right, they will drink beer after beer after beer, amazing. Now, I do remember as a kid when we would go to Packer games, I guess I shouldn't say this, but there's nobody they could prosecute any longer, my dad would have a flask, and it would get passed around to everybody, including the kids. And I don't know why they thought that would keep you warm, but, you know, that was there. Everybody had a flask. And what I do remember is I can't imagine how people drove home after some of those games. I mean, now people are a little more concerned. They'll have a designated driver. But back then, they could have probably, issued tickets to almost every single driver that it was leaving.
Just about. I don't think it was chicken soup that they were drinking in out of those glasses.
Oh, absolutely not.
The important thing, though, is that when you see fans in the upper level and they're getting that hammered, it starts to take away from the game. I mean,
well, if they're nasty. And yeah. And I will say at Lambeau, that happened, I may have mentioned that on the program, because I had a grandson who was at the game, and I always said how polite everyone was at Lambeau, and there was a couple of really obnoxious people. But they were taken out of the stadium at halftime.
Well, that's a good thing. You know, that would happen at Maple Leaf Gardens, too. They would pull people out of the stands. It's rare that you see a Toronto Maple Leafs fan who's obnoxious. But sometimes people drink too much and...
Yeah, but they don't need to be obnoxious. I know we watched a playoff game in Arizona, and there was a woman there who was just ahead of us, who was so obnoxious, and she had the worst voice that I've ever heard. So really, we had to sit there throughout the game and listen to her screech. And, you know, I really mean screech. She could have, you know, been a voiceover for the worst screeching whatever.
And it was in Temple Owls.
It truly ruined the game. I mean, it was just awful.
Obnoxious fans are always a problem, and there are systems now where you can text the stadium security personnel, and they'll go try to calm the person down. And if they don't behave themselves, they'll escort them out. And this is happening more and more. And I don't know why people feel that they can just go crazy at stadiums anymore. We used to see problems going to Jets games or going to Giants games in the heel.
Well, always Eagle games. I think the Eagles, the new stadium, at least in my experience, is much better than old Vet Stadium. I had some serious problems, and I think what would happen after a Packer game in Philadelphia is we would get newspapers from Green Bay and Milwaukee talking about the fans who'd been beat up and accosted, and I think Philadelphia had a worse reputation than Oakland.
Wouldn't surprise me, because the Eagles have always had that problem. Likewise, people complain about Flyers fans and Phillies fans as well. And I haven't been to a Sixers game in so long that I can't tell you what their fans are like. But I do know, as somebody who goes to a lot of Philadelphia sporting events, people can get out of hand. And, instant you-know-what, just add alcohol.
Yeah, no, I know.
The interesting thing, though, is that the new stadiums seem better able to be policed, better able to have crowd control. There are security people roaming the parking lots during tailgate time, and things seem to be better.
Well, I went to the playoff game a few years ago with Packers and Eagles, and I have to say I was very impressed. I really was very impressed. Dave would not even go to the game because he said he'll never go back to Philadelphia again. But I went with my grandson Tommy and somebody else, and it was fine, and we had a great time. Game, nice stadium. I was impressed with the stadium.
Lincoln Financial Field's a good place to watch a game,
and it was easy to get in and out.
It is. By the way, I wanted to mention we've got a good matchup coming up between the Jets and the Chiefs at 4:30 on Sunday. It's a game that I'm looking forward to. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick and Matt Fort are going to be guys to watch. Eric Decker's had 7 straight games with a touchdown catch, even though he's a little banged up. Brendan Marshall's had 7 touchdowns in his last 5 games against Kansas City. He has a twisted knee, and both didn't practice this week. But it looks like Quincy Enunwa, who's going to come off a career-high 92-yard game at Buffalo and had 13 receptions on 14 tosses in his direction, even though he's banged up as well, he could still provide a pretty good game.
So very quickly, because we're almost at the end of the problem.
Jets could win this one. Jets could be 2-1.
What did you think about the Seattle loss?
I'm sorry?
What did you think about the Seattle loss last weekend?
I was pleasantly surprised. I thought Seattle is an overrated team. And I think Seattle is just going to be one of these fizzles this year.
Okay. Well, of course, the Lions lost and the Packers lost, so this week should be interesting. And frankly,
both,
if the Packers
have something to prove,
if yeah,
the
and if the
don't
Packers
win this game, they're in trouble.
And I believe is this a game at home or is this on the? I think this is on the road.
I think the Packers are in Detroit.
I think so.
I think it's a 1 o'clock
because
start.
Then you know, not next weekend, but then we have three games at home. Which we're going to see, the Giants, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Bears. It's a Thursday night game with the Bears. So hopefully those, you know, I always kind of like the team that plays.